Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation on this Sunday after Christmas is a portion of the Gospel lesson read before in Luke chapter 2, namely verses 25 through 32, which I would read again as follows. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our newborn Savior and Redeemer, beloved hearers of his most wonderful word, we Christians, by God's grace, had a wonderful spiritual build-up to Christmas during the Holy Advent season, in which our hearts and minds were prepared for the coming of the Savior by sincere contrition and repentance, as well as by faith in the promise of his coming. Then our children put the happiness of Christmas into scriptural perspective when in their recitations on Christmas Eve, they reminded us of our great need for this Savior, of God's many promises of old concerning his coming, and of his perfect fulfillment of all of those promises on the first Christmas night. And then on Christmas Day, we explored together the various reasons why we Christians have not just a temporary, fleeting happiness at Christmas time, but real, lasting joy from the message of the Christmas angels. The glad tidings that Christ was born to be our perfect Savior, and that he was born to proclaim God's goodwill to sinful men. That goodwill which Jesus himself made possible by his satisfaction of God's justice in our place. But my dear hearers, it's not enough just to know all of these wonderful facts and details and even comforts with our heads. Just seeing the baby Jesus lying there in Bethlehem's manger is not enough. Just knowing that he is there for you isn't enough. But dear old Simeon, in our text for today, shows us, as our children also learned in Sunday school this morning, how to make the blessings of Christmas our very own for time and for eternity, as the blessed result of taking the Christ child of Bethlehem up into our arms of faith. That result, according to our text, is threefold. First of all, that the Savior, the Christ child, brings peace to our hearts. Secondly, that he brings purpose to our lives. And finally, that he brings hope to our future as we look forward even now to a blessed departure from this veil of tears to everlasting happiness in heaven. St. Luke tells us by way of introduction that this Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we have, in other words, among all of the Jews of Jesus' day who had slipped into what we call dead orthodoxy or mere formalism in religion, just knowing a lot of facts and being at least in attendance at the Lord's house, here we have a true believer of the Old Testament. He was just, not just on the basis of his own goodness or merit before God, but justified, as was Abraham of old, by faith in the coming Savior. And he was devout. He sincerely loved the word of his God, as did the psalmist David. And he loved the place where God's honor dwells, the habitation of his house, where his honor dwells through the preaching and teaching of that word. Simeon, like Zacchaeus and Elizabeth, like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds of Bethlehem, was looking forward in patient faith to the coming of God's consolation, the helper, the comforter of his people, whose advent had been foretold by all the prophets, we read in Acts chapter 10, 43, and the Holy Ghost was upon this aged believer, Luke writes in our text. God's own Holy Spirit had not only created saving faith in Simeon's heart, through the precious word of his grace, he had not only preserved him in that faith up until that very day, but he had also strengthened him in that faith to the extent that his devout life as a Christian was shining forth as a beacon to others in that city of Jerusalem, as external witness or evidence of his confidence in the coming Savior. Which is why his words, his testimony to others there in the temple, as well as the testimony of Anna, were so significant. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, and we don't know exactly how, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one, the Lord's Messiah, as those words all mean the same thing. What a wonderful and assuring promise that was to this aged believer. How singularly blessed he must have felt with that comforting prospect in view that it didn't matter how old he was, he would not die before he had personally seen the promised Savior, the Savior promised for over 4,000 years in the Old Testament. Do you feel so blessed, my dearly beloved hearers? Do you feel as blessed as Simeon was blessed? You should, you know, because you and I not only have that same promise to us, but we have that promise fulfilled to us. In the Holy Scriptures, which testify of Jesus, John 5:39, we have already seen the Lord Christ in all of his splendor. We have seen him as our Redeemer and Savior, as our only mediator and advocate with God the Father in heaven, as our only protector and defender, as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king. We have seen him in so much greater and more glorious detail than even Simeon did, who saw him with his own two eyes and held him in his own two arms. Just think of what we have seen. Just think of what we know. Just think of what we have to be thankful for as New Testament Christians. Therefore, let us be truly thankful for it. And let us show forth our gratitude for the superb advantage we have in having the revealed Word of God in both the Old and New Testaments for our very own, so that gratefully we gladly hear it, learn it, meditate upon it, and follow it in faith. This dear Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, that place to which the same Spirit also leads us to receive the knowledge of the truth about our Savior. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. What a fitting place indeed to see the Savior, to observe him in his state of humiliation. For not only was he born into this world of the Virgin Mary, born a tiny, helpless baby. Not only was he circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of God, but now at the tender age of only 40 days, he was in the temple fulfilling the law to which he was made subject for our sakes. He wasn't there to do that for himself. He didn't need to be subject to the law for himself, but we needed him to be subject to the law for our sakes in order to satisfy the Father's justice in our place. His active obedience is part of his wonderful vicarious atonement, without which we would not have any righteousness in which to stand before our God in heaven. Of all the babies probably in attendance there in the temple that day, going through exactly the same procedure in the purification of the mother and their dedication to God, Jesus stood out to Simeon. He went right up to him, recognized him, took him up in his arms, and glorified God. He didn't stand out to him because of some supernatural glow in his tiny face. He didn't stand out to him because of some holy aura around Mary, his mother, but because of the Holy Spirit's leading, just as that same Holy Spirit identifies him to you and to me and to all men today in and through his word, saying, for example, through John the Baptist, as we heard just the other Sunday, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Simeon took the child up in his arms and blessed God, glorified him in that wonderful song of praise called the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing every Sunday after having received the Lord's body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord had indeed fulfilled his special promise to Simeon in letting him see with his own two eyes the one who would bring salvation to his people through the remission of their sins. Note, however, that Simeon was not just seeing the physical child Jesus before him, but he was seeing, as we also see him by faith, all that this holy person was to accomplish for sinful mankind, as this is clearly revealed in the holy scriptures of both the Old and the New Testaments. Simeon says, here is the salvation personified, the Savior, the salvation which God hath prepared before the face of all people. Not just for Simeon to see, not just for Mary and Joseph to see, not just for those shepherds on Bethlehem's fields to see in the stable when they arrive there at the direction of the angel, not just for Jesus' disciples to see in his manifestation to them in his public ministry, but this salvation was for all people to see in the gospel, for them to see, to accept, and to trust in as their very own Savior. Indeed, dear brethren, as we, like Simeon of old, take this Christ child into our arms of faith, we have something as the result. We don't just have kind of a warm and fuzzy feeling of having a baby in our arms, but we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1. We have peace of heart. We have rest unto our souls, Jesus says in John 14. That is the indescribable peace of conscience that assures us that we are no longer God's enemies, as we all were by nature, as we were born into this world, doomed to hell for our transgressions. But rather, that God, for Christ's sake, no longer charges or imputes our sins to us. That we are God's own children by faith in Christ Jesus, so that we can go to him as dear children go to their own dear father here in this world and say, Abba, Daddy, dear Father. And when we enfold the child like the child of Bethlehem in confidence of that blessed fact, Paul tells us that we are justified. That is, we are personally made right with God. That we are made just before him. Personally made recipients of God's forgiveness and possessors of his peace, the peace of which the angels sang, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God which passeth all human understanding. What an unspeakably great blessing to a poor, undeserving sinner like Simeon. What an unspeakable gift to a poor, undeserving sinner like you and like me, to have seen God's salvation in his precious gospel. Just having seen it only recently, even in the glad tidings of Christmas. So take that precious Christ child up into your arms of faith, as did Simeon of old, and make his peace your very own, praying to him, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." But now we see from our text the second blessed result of taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith, namely that he brings purpose to our lives as Christians, so that we work zealously to spread the glad tidings of salvation also to other people. Preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all nations. Spread my word. Simeon sings in his praise to the Lord, not only that his salvation has been prepared before the face of all people, but that this bringer of salvation was to be a light to lighten the Gentiles as well as the glory of his people Israel. Dear old Simeon knew very well all those prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah and his mission, as we heard all of those wonderful things spoken of him by John the Baptist to his own dear disciples during the season of Advent. Especially that the Lord would preach the comfort of the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to heal those who were sick, especially the spiritually sick, and so on. Simeon knew the prophecies which spoke of Jesus as a light of the Gentiles. For example, in Isaiah chapter 42, where the Father speaks to Christ, saying, "I, the Lord, will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." And in those days, of course, God's people, the children of Israel, specifically the kingdom of Judah, wasn't all that interested in the Gentiles. They figured that the covenant of Abraham was for them and for them alone. And so this prophecy of Isaiah is very significant, and the fact that Simeon himself would refer to it is a great comfort to us. For this and many other prophecies clearly show that although the Jews had a distinct advantage in having the scriptures of the Old Testament for themselves as stewards, yet God's salvation was intended from the beginning already to be for all people. As Paul also writes to Timothy, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You and I, brethren, are Gentiles. We are not descended from the loins of Abraham. We aren't Jewish Christians. We're Gentile Christians. And God's gracious will to save us should so fill us with gratitude that we cheerfully shoulder the responsibility that he has given us to spread the glad tidings of salvation far and wide. Beginning, of course, at Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus says, that is, beginning in our own backyard where we live, and then going out from there into the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us to get the word out. That's our job. That's the purpose that he has given to our lives here in this world. And God's salvation is also the glory of his people Israel, Simeon says. The sure vindication of God's promises of old that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah, from the Jewish people, from the house of King David. Indeed, to the true Israel, which are all those who confide in Jesus with true saving faith, the Savior would be the crowning glory, the cause for great rejoicing, their own salvation through faith in his holy precious blood as the blood of the true Passover lamb. How sad, therefore, that many of God's own chosen people rejected the Savior when he appeared on the scene. In spite of all the opportunities that they had, and knowing the scriptures which are able to make them, or which were able to make them, all wise unto salvation through faith in him. Instead, John writes in his gospel account, chapter 1, that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not, just as the prophets had foretold. And yet, the Lord, in his mercy, still wants the Jews to be our mission prospects. He wants us to dedicate our lives anew to the purpose that he has given them, namely to be witnesses unto him, to Jews and Gentiles alike, for whom he shed his holy precious blood, and whom he earnestly desires to save. That's what we should want to do out of gratitude for our own salvation, so that others too may know what we know, so that others too may come to believe what, by God's grace, we believe. Share the joy, share the happiness, share the peace. And now, dear old Simeon has one final blessed result to show us from taking the Christ child up into our arms of faith. And that is that the Savior brings hope to our future. Not just hope to our future here in this life, but hope to our future as we look forward eagerly to a blessed departure from this life. Remember that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now that he had seen him, both with his physical eyes and with his eyes of faith, Simeon confidently declares, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." He was ready, peacefully, to depart this life and to reap all the benefits which the Lord had prepared for him from the foundation of the world. Temporal death for a Christian, be he young or old, should never hold any terror. For Christ, the Anointed One, God's salvation, has conquered death for us. Sure, according to our flesh, and our sinful weakness, death is still a bitter prospect to face. It's natural to want to live. But when we Christians contemplate our ultimate departure from this old evil world, and we have to fight against the last-ditch efforts of Satan to rob us of our confidence in Christ our Savior, we have to fight that inclination. We have to fight it and do it successfully only with the sword of the Spirit, namely God's own precious word, which states in unmistakable terms the challenge to death itself that should ever be on our lips and always in our hearts. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But you see, we don't have to be stung by the law anymore, for Christ has kept the law perfectly in our place. The strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin, what makes sin so sinful and so abominable, is that it is abhorrent to God. But God in Christ has reconciled us unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. So thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, hope in the face of death is the real test of our faith. Hope in the sense of Scripture simply means the confident anticipation that God will indeed do for us what he has promised to do for us. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, as long as we're still alive in this world and can come to church every Sunday and can pray to the Lord for help in every need, as long as we're alive, we are of all men most miserable. For that's what the poor wretches have who believe in a so-called social gospel for the here and now. But Paul continues, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, the prototype of them that slept. The prototype of old Simeon as he prepared to sleep in Jesus. That's the hope we have as Christians. The confident anticipation that the Savior will make good on his promises to us as he made good on his promise to Simeon. Because I live, ye shall live also. So, brethren, when we take this precious Christ child of Bethlehem into our arms by faith, we not only have access to this hope, we have this hope, the writer to the Hebrews assures us. We have it as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. Take him up, then, into your own arms as Simeon did. And fold him and hold him in your arms of faith. And have with him and because of him all the wonderful blessings that he imparts to you. Peace to your heart in the remission of your sins. Purpose to your life in the privilege of sharing the glad tidings of great joy with everyone that you ever come into contact with. The redemption of their soul is precious. and hope for your future. Your future, even in the face of death, young or old, as you confidently declare with Simeon, in peace and joy, I now depart. I hold my Jesus to my heart, nor fear nor hell can vex me sore when I shall stand at death's dark door. 'Tis but the gate to heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.